Just give me Jesus. Amen. We have him, don't we? Isn't it beautiful to know that God has come in the flesh, redeemed us by his blood? Praise God. Thank you, Father, for loving us as you do, for making a way for sinners like us to have victory in this world. We thank you, Father, that we move forward in faith, and help us each tonight as we open your word to walk in the Spirit. We need this, Lord. Help us, teach us, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, tonight, family, we are going to be beginning 2 Samuel chapter 3, and we're only going to study one verse tonight. It's a really meaningful verse, I think, and I believe that it really can help us to focus in on victory in Christ. The title is Shorten the War, and we know that we're in a spiritual battle. That's a given. We sense this all around us. We sense it every day. We see the things in the world many ways turning toward evil. We see a people's hearts getting colder and colder and waxing cold against the truth, standing strong against the truth of God's word. We stand in opposition of the enemy. But you know, that's not the only problem. We are the problem too. Our flesh is a problem at times, isn't it? And when we talk about the war here in this title, Shorten the War, I'm talking about the war between our flesh and the Spirit of God. Verse 1 of chapter 3 says this: Now there was long war between the house of Saul and the house of David, but David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. If you remember, Saul was the first king of Israel. But now, Saul is dead. Saul was killed on Mount Gilboa. However, God had previously established that David would become the next king, and he's been anointed by Samuel. He was anointed by Judah. We saw this over the last couple of weeks. But a problem arose. Abner, Saul's commander-in-chief, made Saul's fourth son, Ishbosheth, he made him king. The other three were killed in the battle with Saul. And remember in 2 Samuel chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, it says, But Abner, the son of Ner, captain of Saul's host, took Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, and brought him over to Mahanaim, and made him king over Gilead, and over the Asherites, and over Jezreel, and over Ephraim, over Benjamin, and over all Israel. Ishbosheth, therefore, is Saul's only remaining son. He claimed the right to the throne. And this created, as we see, as we just read in verse 1, a long war between the house of David and the house of Ishbosheth. And in this long, drawn-out war, we find a picture here. We find a picture of life in the flesh and life in the spirit. We find a picture of our relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's a victorious relationship, isn't it? You see, when you received Christ, you and I invited him to take charge of our lives. We surrendered our personal lordship to the lordship of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the one from the lineage of David, the Son of David, and you and I invited him to take the throne of our heart, didn't we? You and I asked him to be our Lord. And when we asked him, he did. You and I, we became new creations in Christ Jesus. Paul the Apostle in 2 Corinthians 5:17, a verse we're quite familiar with, Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So if you're in Christ, you're brand new. And that's how God looks at a believer. We touched on this last week. This process, this thing called justification. Because we're new by virtue of the new birth, and Jesus has ascended to the throne of each of our hearts. However, on a regular basis, and I think we can all fall into this trap, we can be eaten up by guilt of what we did, who we were before we came to Jesus. Maybe the enemy is dangling your past in front of you. He does that. Maybe you've been reminded by another person of what you've done or who you were before you came to Christ. But we need to remember, we're new. We're new creations. And I'm so thankful that God doesn't remember our sin. Hebrews 10:17 says, "And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin." And yet, you know, throughout the world, many people believe that day after day after week after month after year, they have to somehow, some way, atone for their own sin through good works. But the scriptures are very clear. There's no more offering for sin. And that's because the offering was already made. And because the offering was already made, and because God doesn't remember our sin and iniquity anymore, tells me this: there's no need for us to feel condemned, is there? God gave us a fresh start, and He gave us a brand new beginning because He knew we needed one. And for those that are born again, we can be assured that we are brand new, and we need not worry about who you once were. That person is dead and gone, buried. We are alive in Jesus Christ. You know, you've heard of such a thing as the witness protection plan, where people have been given a brand new identity, new identification. It says they're no longer who they were. They're now known as with another name, a different social security number, whatever it might have been. They're called something different, but they're still the same person, right? But their character hasn't changed, unless they're born again. But for us, Jesus has His own protection plan. And it's for those that are saved. He protects you as a witness for Him. So you know, no matter what happens to you, you are secure in Christ. And when you leave this world, when you and I breathe our last and Jesus takes us home, we've got a place in heaven. I'm so grateful for that. I'm so grateful I can look ahead and know that my residency is not here, it's in heaven. And God has gone ahead to prepare a place for me. So with Jesus Christ, as He changes our identity, He doesn't disguise who we are, but to identify us as one of His. I belong to Jesus. He purchased me. He's taken the old me, the old you, said goodbye, not in a physical sense, but family, in a spiritual sense, we have been changed. And our allegiance is now to the One who has saved us and purchased us. And because of that, we no longer have a desire to do the things that we once did. We no longer think the way we used to think, or think the thoughts we used to think. We no longer treat people like we once treated them, because we're no longer who we once were. We're brand new. Jesus Christ, on the throne of our heart, you've surrendered control to Him. But, and this is all true. This is all true, the things I just shared with you. But there's a problem. Because there's another that wants your heart too. An Ishbosheth of sorts. And let me say this, names have great significance in the Bible. So then it should be no surprise to you that the name Ishbosheth has a meaning that's very pertinent to verse 1. The name Ishbosheth means man of shame. There's a war with a man of shame. We've opened our hearts to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the One from the line of David, that we have given authority of the throne of our hearts. But again, family, there's another that's vying for your heart. There's another that's trying to take control. It's Ishbosheth, the man of shame, at war within you for the throne of your heart. Well, who is this man of shame? It's my flesh. It's my flesh. There's a war going on, and it's a long war. A long war between the house of Saul, Ishbosheth, this man of shame, and the house of David, the one that God intended to rule that land, the one that God intended to rule our hearts. You see, it's a competition for the same throne. But look at verse 1, about halfway through. It says there was a long war, but it means God's got something to say here. But what? But David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. The house of Saul, Ishbosheth, this man of shame, waxed weaker and weaker. And I love this because it tells me that David grew stronger and stronger and stronger, and those that opposed David became weaker and weaker and weaker. And that's good news. It's good news for us. It's good news for you and I, because the Bible tells us this in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, what's the saying in context with today's verse? You see, if you allow Jesus full access through complete surrender to his lordship, the throne of Jesus Christ in your heart will grow stronger and stronger and stronger. And the throne of Ishbosheth will grow weaker and weaker. Well, will the battle ever end? Will the struggle ever end? Well, the answer is it's going to get better. It's going to get better. You and I will get stronger and stronger if we allow Jesus and we continually submit to his lordship. Well, how can we accomplish this? How can this long war that we're talking about, how can it be shortened? Well, Peter said this in 1 Peter 2:11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Why is that so important? Well, it's important because if you don't abstain, you're going to prolong the war. Let me give you an example. When the children of Israel left Egypt, it should have been about an 11-day journey. Deuteronomy 1, verse 2 says, there were 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir unto Kadesh Barnea. 11-day journey. How long did it take? 40 years. 40 years. Why? Rebellion. Fleshly lusts. Murmuring. Complaining. Their flesh wanting something different than what God had supplied. They were discontent, failure to believe and to trust that God rescued them from Egypt and had a great plan for them. And along the way, they murmured and they complained against God's authority that was found in Moses. And it extended their journey. They took the long way, didn't they? We're going to find, should the Lord tarry, next week, that eventually all Israel will be under David and acknowledge him as king. But the time it took was about 7 years, 7 years, 6 months to be exact, according to 2 Samuel 2:11. Why did it take 7 years, 7.5 years, for David to assume control over all of Israel? I think we find an answer when we look back to David's life. And if you've been here on Wednesday nights, you know that David entered into a time of rebellion. He got so down. Remember, he got so discouraged. He said this. He said, I'm going to go fight against Israel with the Philistines. Remember? He said, I'm going to join the Philistines. Was this a detour for David? I think it was. The tribes of Israel. Why did it take so long? The tribes of Israel didn't trust him. How could they trust a man to be king that joined the forces with the Philistines, the enemies of God's people? So this acceptance of David would take some time. But the battle didn't need to be that long. You see, there's a long war, but it doesn't have to be that long. What's the solution? Well, the result is to become stronger and stronger and stronger in the Lord. Well, how do we do that? Well, it must be a work of God's Holy Spirit in the life of a believer that keeps us on track. Amen. It has to be. Well, how do we do this? Well, we better be in the pattern and habit and practice of studying, reading and studying God's Word. How often? Every day. Our daily bread. Every single day. In receiving by the work of the Holy Spirit, the strength through His Word, writing those scriptures on our hearts so we have the strength and energy to keep going in the right direction. So we have the Word of God. We also have God's Holy Spirit. In fact, John 16, verse 8 says, "And when the Holy Spirit has come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." God's given us everything that we need. And you know, family, God doesn't want it to be a flesh-on-flesh struggle, but rather living a life of victory. How? By walking in the Spirit of God. In fact, it might as well be said that victory is walking in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Walk in the Spirit. Now, I want you to see something with me. It doesn't say fight against the flesh so that you can walk in the Spirit. No, it's exactly the opposite. He says, walk in the Spirit and you shall not walk in the flesh. In other words, you can't do both at the same time. We can't do both at the same time. So wherever you go, be occupied with the things of the Spirit. And we're to live under the influence of God's Holy Spirit because we are the temples of God's Holy Spirit. He indwells us. And if He indwells us, it means this, that a change has taken place on our insides. We've been given a new heart. We're no longer governed by our sinful nature. And the Holy Spirit of God that indwells us speaks to our hearts so we know what pleases Him. And when we know what pleases Him, what do? Well, we desire to please Him, don't we? And if that's the case, Paul said, you shall not fulfill the lusts of your flesh. He doesn't say you should not or you better not. He said you shall not if you're walking step by step, day by day in the Spirit and according to the Spirit. It's like light and darkness, isn't it? Light and darkness can't occupy the same space at the same time. There is either light, no matter how much, or there's complete darkness. So if we're walking in the Spirit, there's no room for the provision of the flesh. And when we're walking in the Spirit, and you know what it's like, it's exciting, it's wonderful, it's beautiful, it's powerful and strengthening. And we know when we're walking in the Spirit, we know that God's leading us where He would have us to go and to do what He would have us to do at any given time. He gives us opportunities every single day when we're walking in the Spirit to do things and accomplish things of eternal value. He gives us insight, doesn't He? And when you open up His beautiful Word and we begin reading it and we spend that time, Lord, teach me, teach me, teach me. And what's He do? He teaches us. He shows us. We see evidence of Him all around. You know, when we're walking in the flesh, what happens as well? We're focused on the flesh, right? But when we're walking in the Spirit, we look around us and we see the beauty of God's creation. We see the beauty of all that He has placed in this world. We observe Him and we can praise Him because we know that He is the Creator. He is the one that put all these things in place. He is the one that breathed life into this body and your body and the lives of those in your life that you love so much. He's a master artist of all the beauty that surrounds us. But you see, apart from walking in the Spirit, we become preoccupied with sin. But if we're walking in the Spirit, we won't even be thinking about sin. And oftentimes people say, well, you know, I just can't overcome this thing. This thing I've been dealing with, it's been a long war. I can't overcome it. Well, why? Because you keep thinking about it. Even thinking about overcoming it causes a person to keep thinking about it, right? Yeah. So what's the solution? Well, the solution is pretty clear. Immerse yourself in the things of the Spirit, the things that are spiritual, the things that are holy, the things that are good. Paul the Apostle gave us this beautiful instruction in Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9, where we ought to focus. He said, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." That's a pretty wonderful laundry list, isn't it? And I don't think it's a bad thing if we read that every day and say, "God, help me to do this." I think it's a wonderful thing if we commit these verses to memory. Well, what else can I do? Okay, I need to have my mind trained, my mind focused on that which God asked me to focus on. Well, I think also we need to pray. We need to pray. We need to commune with God. We need to fellowship with God. And He knows the things that you're struggling with. He knows it's a long war. But it's a war that He wants to end because He wants you to walk in the Spirit. Pray. Have fellowship with brothers and sisters in the Lord. Make a phone call. "Listen, I need prayer." It's not a bad thing. It's a very good thing to invite someone to pray for you. And was, "Well, I don't want them to know my business." It's okay. Just ask them to pray for you then and ask the Spirit of God to lead that. God knows. He understands. Spend time with the Lord, meditating on the goodness of God. Talk to Him. Share your heart with Him. And then let Him share His heart with you. And then do what He's asking you to do. Maybe He's asking you to intercede for another person. Listen, when I intercede for somebody else, I'm not thinking about myself anymore, am I? No. I'm thinking about somebody else. Their concerns, their difficulties, their victories, whatever it might be. If God puts somebody on your heart, pray for them. Pray for them. Sometimes I think we can get into the tendency of saying, "Well, oh, I was thinking about that person," and we drop it. I'm guilty. Guilty as charged. But you know, if God puts somebody on your heart, recognize it's God that places that person there. How do I know that? Well, because I'm walking in the Spirit. Because God's Spirit indwells me. He speaks to me. I hear His voice. I'm His sheep. Intercede. Maybe He's asking you to make some kind of practical expression of love. Give a call. See if somebody needs help with something. I don't know what it is. Maybe an encouraging word. Maybe there's somebody that just needs to hear your voice. Needs to hear your voice saying, "How can I pray for you?" That's an encouraging word. That's an encouragement. Maybe some act of mercy He's asking you to do. He's merciful to me. We ought to be merciful too. Maybe some act of kindness. Or maybe He's asking you to withhold something that you want to say that you shouldn't say to someone or about someone. And you see, when we obey those things, the examples I just gave, what are we doing? We're walking in the Spirit. And when we're walking in the Spirit, I'm not fulfilling the lusts of my flesh. You know, maybe I want to say something to somebody, and I'm not going to because God's Spirit says, no. That's walking in the Spirit. And that's the kind of life that we're to live day by day by day, moment by moment. And if we live that kind of way, if we live in that kind of discipline in the Spirit of God, then you don't have to worry about falling into sin. Not that we're not going to stumble. Not that we're not going to ever trip up. We do. But you know, when we're that close to the Lord, we have that sensitivity to His Spirit, and we're convicted. And we can bring it right back to the Lord and say, "God, forgive me. Fill me afresh. Restore me. Restore the joy of thy salvation." Be caught up in Him. You know, sometimes we as Christians, we can walk around like we're going through a funeral dirge. But you know, we're to have the joy of the Lord. Take joy in the Lord. Enjoy Jesus. He's a good and wonderful God. Enjoy the fellowship He's provided. But sometimes we can get so consumed with life that we don't enjoy Jesus, do we? I'm overwhelmed with my stuff. I'm overwhelmed with the things of this world. Well, then here's a good idea. Bring it to Jesus. Talk to Jesus about it. He'll lift your spirit. We lose our joy when we take our eyes off of Him. Where's my heart? Where's my mind? Is it on Jesus Christ, or is it on me and my circumstances? And you know, sometimes, and I'm so guilty of this, sometimes I give Jesus my table scraps rather than the full table of my life. I don't know if any of you ever feel that way, but I sure do. I don't give Him my best all the time. And when I don't give Him my best, it shows up someplace. It always shows up. I'll snap at my wife. I'll say things and then wonder, why in the world did I say that? Or I'll think things, why in the world am I thinking that? Well, there's a real good answer. It's simple. But it's not why did I, it's why didn't I? Why didn't I spend more time with the Lord today? Why didn't I take the time just to enjoy Him and His presence in my life? Why didn't I take advantage of that time to just enjoy fellowship or come to prayer or come to whatever it might be? Opportunities that God gives us to join together to praise our beautiful King. Why didn't I? And you see, if our thoughts shift to Jesus, and we're consumed with the beauty of His presence, something happens. The flesh tends to disappear, doesn't it? Things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory, His presence, and grace. Galatians 5:17. Paul said, "For the flesh lusteth," or wars against, "the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." Paul's saying if you're trying to overcome the flesh by your own energy and by your own ability, you're going to struggle continually. And you know what? It's going to be a long, long war. And you know, it doesn't matter how many New Year's resolutions we make, does it? It doesn't matter how many notes we tape to the refrigerator as a reminder to do what's right. It needs to be right in here, doesn't it? It needs to be in the heart. The fact of the matter is, you're not going to overcome the pulls of the flesh on your own, even though the Spirit is willing. Even if you desire to or commit to in your own energy, you're not going to have victory, because there's a war going on, and simply trying to follow your rules in your own strength is not going to overcome the flesh. You might want to, but apart from walking the Spirit, you're fighting a losing battle. And it's a long, long war. Look at the lives of Isaac and Ishmael. They couldn't get along. Why? Because they had different natures. So is the Spirit and our flesh, our old nature, they're at war with one another. And when Paul's referring to the flesh, he's not talking about our body. Because the body in and of itself is not sinful. It's neutral. The body just follows. So if the Holy Spirit controls the body, then we walk in the Spirit. But if the flesh or the old nature controls our body, then we walk in the lusts of our flesh, don't we? The Spirit and the body have different appetites, and this is what creates the conflict. The Spirit says it's all about Jesus. The flesh says what? It's all about me. Now, the Bible speaks of opposite appetites in some great Old Testament illustrations. For example, a sheep is considered by God to be a clean animal and avoids garbage. They eat grass. A pig, however, is an unclean animal that wallows in its own filth. Remember in the account of Noah, after the rain had ceased, the ark settled, Noah sent out a raven that never returned. Why is that? Well, ravens eat decaying flesh, and there's plenty to feed on. But when Noah released a dove, which is considered clean, a clean animal, it came back because there was nothing to feed on. And the last time he released a dove, it didn't return because it found a clean place to settle. You see, our old nature is like, no offense to anybody, but it's like the pig and the raven. Always looking for something unclean on which to feed. And our new nature is like a sheep or the dove yearning for that which is clean and holy. That's the struggle. And these things, family, they can be overcome. But none of us can do it on our own. Maybe some here this evening. I don't know. Maybe some of you are struggling with the old nature and the new nature. Well, you can be assured that you're not alone. Paul the Apostle shared this very thing in Romans 7, verses 18 and 19. He said, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I do, or that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." Paul isn't saying that there's no victory. He's saying we can't win and achieve victory in our own strength or by our own will. We need God's Holy Spirit. So again, in verse 1, there was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David, but David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. We can't have both. We cannot have both. So which throne is it that we're honoring? Is it the throne of David? And I pray that's a resounding yes. Or is it the throne of Ish-bosheth, the man of shame? And if we honor the throne of David, if we're walking in the Spirit, what's happening is you and I will grow stronger and stronger and stronger in the Spirit. We couldn't help but do that. But if we choose the opposite, if we choose the man of shame or Ish-bosheth, we're going to get weaker and weaker and weaker spiritually. I choose strength. How about you? Can we agree tonight that we're going to choose to walk in the Spirit? You know, spend that time that you need every single day feeding on God's Word, spending time communing with your God, sharing with Him your struggles, the things that you've been dealing with, your concerns, your hurts, your pain, the matters of rebellion in your heart, and ask God to help you. And then do what He asks you to do. And you know what you're going to find? You're going to find you get stronger and stronger and stronger spiritually. It's right in God's Word. This is what we need to do. Amen? Amen. And we thank You, Father, that You've shown us. You've shown us the difference between life in the Spirit and life in the flesh. And we, as Christians, those that are purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, we've been made new. Help us, Lord, to keep our minds and our hearts fixed on You, fixed on those things that are good, those things that are lovely, those things that are true, those things that are of good report. Help us day by day and moment by moment to make those decisions, to walk with our God, that we would honor You, the One who has taken up throne and residence in our heart, Lord. Please, help us to do this. Crucify this flesh. that we might walk in the Spirit and be led by the Spirit of God. We thank you, Father, for hearing us. Thank you for teaching us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. That's how we shorten a long war. Let's stand and praise our beautiful King. If you have any